night, beginning the visit with Shirley and Berman on buying the cows this Sunday after supper, the 30th of September, 73. Channel 1 Right, beginning the visit with Shirley and Berman this Sunday after supper, the 30th of September, 73. Channel 1 Right, beginning of the visit with Shirley and Berman this Sunday after supper, the 1st to 30th of September, 73. Channel 1 Right, beginning of the visit with Shirley and Berman this Sunday after supper, the 30th of September, 73.
I've been mowing hay before I came over here.
You see we took
the kid. You didn't make it to Island Grove Church this morning.
No.
Neither did I.
Oh, you didn't?
Berman and the boys went, but I took Bonnie to the hospital. She had an accident with her ankle.
Uh-oh.
And we thought it was broken.
Very
serious. Yeah. The leaders and the tendons and all, and her ankles, just swelled up somehow.
She jumped out of a swing and hurt her ankle.
Playing Tarzan.
Yeah. Playing Tarzan.
Playing Tarzan. Now I've got some little lady, haven't I?
Yes, you have. Well, I still think I'm as crabby at all.
Well, I do too.
You going in the drug business there?
Yes. Yes. I've got so much of this kind of
petroleum jelly.
Yeah.
I didn't. A guy said we all ought to be over there this morning if that's been on the ground.
Oh, you know, I.
They claimed there was
that.
A crowd over there. I had chicken perlow and a big cake to take over there and what all. And I told Berman, I said, well, if you don't stay for church, come home and look, you know, feed the kids. I hadn't frosted the cake yet. I told him, I said, there's the frosting, there's the cake. When it cools, you just frost it before you eat it.
But
so,
didn't he stay?
No, we came on back home. And
he wouldn't stay because I wasn't there.
You mean you?
That's what you told
no,
me.
No, and I want to get back home. I had to get back home and get that hay up. We've had such bad weather for hay. I had hay cut down last week, and it rained on every day last week. I cut down hay last Saturday. It rained Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday on it.
Well, now that is the hay season after Labor Day.
Every time I've cut down hay this year, it's rained on it. And that I put up some hay this afternoon. That's the first hay I put up, but it didn't get rained on.
Well, if you started the 1st of July, you'd have the same experience.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It has rained all the. Boy, we've got some clover over there. Some clover like this. I got about 35 acres. Boy, that's just as pretty as you ever seen. That stuff has really grown.
Just had it
bailed. Yeah. When I mow it, it's going to rain.
Well, that stuff takes a while to cure.
Oh, I think about 3 days to do it. Last year, we only let it have 2 days last year, son.
But you got a fluffer,
man. Well, you don't want to fluff clover. You knock all leaves off of it. If you fluff it, you'll sure knock the leaves off of it.
Yeah, that's what Johnny's at. I thought Johnny said he was
because I want to mow that with a sickle bar.
You won't fluff it the first day. I mean,
on this Pangola stuff, I fluff it 2 or 3 times. I'll after the sun hits it for about 2 or 3 hours, I go right back and fluff it.
Yeah. Well, now you can do clover the same way at least once, just so you get it from lion and sheep.
But. Now, I cut down a bunch of pangola yesterday. It was real heavy. and I fluffed it twice yesterday, and then I came back today. When I came from church, I went out there and fluffed it, and I already got it in the barn.
That's more like it.
I mowed it down yesterday morning, and I built it this afternoon.
See, that's more like it.
That's really something.
When you fluff that stuff, I mean, it's just the same as it helps it cure. Because it fluffs it up, and that air can pass right through and helps it dry out.
Yeah.
But this morning, but today when I went back down there to fluff it, after that, all that dew got on it yesterday, it pushed it right back down the ground.
Oh,
the weight of the dew.
Oh,
and, well, it pushed it right back down the ground. And when I came in from church today, it was laying flat. And I went right back, and you wouldn't think so, but it sure does. That dew will sure push it down.
Is it heavy?
Yeah, that pango is as thick as it can be.
You mean heavy dew?
Oh, yeah, it was a heavy dew this last night. I went back about 12:30, or 1 o'clock, I guess, when I went out there and plucked it this afternoon.
Well, I guess once it gets a little bit cured, then just a little moisture.
Oh, it don't take much moisture, because I can be baling hay. I can go out there and bale hay all afternoon. And the closer it gets toward dark, the heavier the bales will start weighing.
You can sure tell the difference.
I can bale up, I can have it all windrowed. I can have it all windrowed.
Yeah.
And I can be baling along there, and the bales will be coming out about 55 pounds.
Yeah.
And I can bale up into... After the sun goes down, those bales will shoot on up to about 75 pounds.
Sure will.
And
you
sure,
know that.
It'll draw that much moisture in the afternoon.
You know it when you go picking them up.
it'll draw that much moisture.
Right.
Yeah, you sure do.
I was baling out there one day, and I had it all in the window.
It's not you now picking them up.
Huh? She's not picking them up.
I didn't pick up the first bale this afternoon.
Here a few years ago, I was baling hay out there and had it all in the windrow, and it came a little light shower. Not enough hardly to even stop me. But I kept on going. And you know, I was baling before the rain hit them.
Yeah.
Just a little shower.
Yeah.
And it was weighing about 55 pounds. I was baling out about 55 pounds. And after that little light shower, no more rain it was, they came out weighing almost 100 pounds. And it was, and the strings were busting them.
Oh, yeah.
The strings were even busting them. You can look back there and see the strings bust. They're so tight.
Oh, so you sure
yeah, I just had to quit. You wouldn't think
you'd
draw that much moisture.
No, you wouldn't.
But they
and the bales weren't really wet.
No, they weren't. They were just moist. Just a little bit of moisture.
Just a little moisture. But then they're packed so much.
You've got all that water and dampness packed in there.
Yeah,
right along with
and
it.
And once you get a little dampness, it packs a whole lot more, don't it?
Yeah. You wouldn't always think it'd draw that much moisture from the ground.
You know, there's more ways to mess do your hay out of swing.
I've been messing the hay now. This makes 22 years I put up hay, and every year I learn something new.
Yeah.
Well,
I learn something
you
new.
You learn by
year.
Experience.
I learn something new every year when I put up hay.
Yeah.
How stupid! How
are.
Stupid I am messing with it. Sometimes, I think it'd be cheaper for me to take $1,200-$1,500 and go buy some darn hay rather than mess with it.
Let me tell you, don't you be too sure about that.
Well, sometimes you can't get what you want.
Not if you got the $1,200 or $1,500, you still
can. You got to fertilize the stuff and everything. Go to all that trouble putting it up.
You've got to look at the field the man's cutting, and you got to be there kind of when he cuts it and see it.
Yeah, well, what I mean is if I went off and bought the hay somewhere else and have it.
Somebody's called Larry in there. I'm scared to death of that darn stuff. And
well,
a lot of people have come down and bought
the only
hay.
Crow to Larry you ought to worry about is a big pod.
Yeah, but
small pod don't hurt me.
People have come to us and bought hay and told us stories about where they bought hay someplace else and got some Crow to Larry. And their horses
just,
got a hold of it and killed them.
I just don't know where I'm going to put all my hay this year. I don't have enough room for it. I want to sell off a bunch of it, I guess.
Well,
I'm going to fill my barns up with Pangola.
Oh.
You won't have any room for your
clover.
And we're going to have, there's going to be 3,000 bales of clover.
We're
going
to have to put some under that shed back there, though.
I'm going to have to stack it out there under the shed and it'll work in.
You know,
the clover is bringing a heck of a price. It's bringing from $1.50, $2 a bale in the field, right in the field, and you
the
pick
field
it up, and you pick it up.
Yeah.
It's high, and what we've got over there is really going to be good clover. There's no trash, no weeds in the.
There's not a weed in
that stuff is standing just like
field.
It's just now
you
going to seed.
You haven't seen it, have you?
It's waist deep, and it's just now going to seed. Just getting ready to go to seed. Just as green as it can be.
Well, maybe you ought to get onto that and just cut the thing over.
Well, it'll be another 2 weeks before it's ready, though.
You mean it's not ready?
Not quite. It's not through growing yet.
We were late.
It'll grow for another 2 weeks yet. I'm hoping to get my own other hay up first. Yeah, well, I want to get a bill of kin.
Well.
Golly, 35 acres, you are again.
It ought to average about 100 bales an acre.
You see, one thing, the weatherman don't help you.
No, he sure don't. I can't depend on him.
Scattered showers.
I wait till he gets up there where it's 90 or 100% chance of the rain, then I'll run out there and mow a bunch down.
When he says 20%
chance of the rain, you better leave your tractor under the shed.
That's the way it's worked every day. So, we haven't had any rain over 2 days.
To get that, it wouldn't have taken too much. How much time? Oh, I kept another hour and a half over there, wouldn't it?
What's that?
You
Oh, you mean over the church? Mm-hmm. Well, I imagine so, because I imagine it was 1 o'clock before they got around eating, I mean. Because a lot of the people, they went home to get their hot victuals and stuff off the stove and bring over there.
Yeah.
And I noticed those people live over at Hutchins, you know, on that ranch over there. What's the name on Wickelson Place?
Hutchins.
Yeah. They stayed for dinner on the ground, and they went back home and got the stuff and then took it back over.
Yeah.
Church. They live around about 5 miles from church.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Do you know them people? They're real nice people. She talks like a Kentuckian, you know. She's really a really nice lady. I have never been over there to see her. One day I'm going to go and visit with her.
She's a lot different than her brother, though. He was a colonel in the army.
Yeah, that's the way I like her, I think, is because she's different than Wilkerson was.
Boy, he was he's a bird. He's a lawyer. He's a retired army colonel. And if he can't stick you, he don't want to dig away.
There's no incentive for him to come
out. Now, this is the first year he sold any cattle. He must have had 1,000 head of cattle out there. He won't sell a calf. He won't sell nothing.
He'd rather let them die.
He'd just let them die out there in the field.
Wow. And that's
he won't sell.
He ought to be reported to the animal.
And he had about I guess 800,000 head of cattle out there, and he's got another place over the same amount of cattle on it. He has every kind of cattle. He has Angus, Herefords, Bramers, and everything else mixed up out there. He keeps them in pretty good shape though. But he had this guy from Williston, he'd hauled him a truckload of hay every day. And he's hauling, I think it was 120 bales of load. He was feeding that much a day. And he wasn't selling nothing.
Yeah, then they were dying.
So where was he getting all the money to do all this with if he wouldn't sell nothing?
He's a lawyer, too.
He's a lawyer.
In Orlando.
His clients are paying for the hay, I imagine.
And the cows, too.
What a deal.
He'd buy cattle, but he wouldn't sell none.
Yeah. Well, they
are. Every time you go by there, you see a cow laying dead in the buzzard.
Yeah, the buzzard be picking her bones.
Is that right?
You'd go
by
there. I haven't seen it this summer here. He's had quite a bit of grass there, but wait till the wintertime comes around.
But Hutchins themselves was doing a very good job, I think, considering what they had to do for all those animals. I don't think it was their fault. It was just his fault for overstocking the whole place.
But I've talked to different people, Mr. Brownlee and Mr. Branch there in Seminole Stores. They said he will not pay his bills. He won't pay his bill.
Yeah.
He'll run up a big bill and he won't pay it. And you had to take him to court. Mr. Brownlee had to take him to court to collect a big feed bill from him, somewhere around $12,000-$15,000. Mr. Branch, he had to take him to court for about $15,000-$20,000 feed bill.
Imagine that feed bill getting that, didn't you?
And they had to take him to court to collect. He won't pay. He won't pay.
He got the money and he won't pay.
He's got money, but he won't pay it.
But now he's a very sick man.
He's supposed to be pretty sick right now.
Very, very sick.
I think that's one reason he's selling off some of his stuff.
Maybe that's been the trouble all along. Maybe it's something.
He tried to get me to go down there. She called up here. Last year, I think it was. Wanted me to go down there and do some tractor work and stuff for him. I told her I just didn't have time to go down there and do it. He had a bunch of hay or something they wanted to put up. Well, I couldn't even put my own hay up. You want me to go down there and put up hay?
Well, you are, you gotta be neighborly.
Well, I was. I just told him I didn't have time.
Well,
yeah, I am working at the university, coming home in the afternoon, working an hour or two for myself, and I sure couldn't go over there and put up any hay. I don't know how much he had. I think he had 40 acres over there he wanted to put up. I just could, I couldn't go over there and mow that and bale that. There's no way I could do it.
You better help him a little bit. And then come back and got your own.
We did that one year and lost all our hay.
I sure did. I did that over at Island Grove one time.
Yeah.
I went over there and put up.
You know what would happen to
I got chicken perlow sitting on the stove and everything.
What would happen to a man?
We've just been eating
all
the out hours all day.
Determined to be
neighborly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Somebody come in.
Everybody would take advantage of him, and he'd starve to death. He'd just be so neighborly.
If
just
you went down there and put up that 40 acres, what would you get out of it?
Well,
thank you.
I've got that before. Sometimes I haven't even got a thank you out of it.
Oh.
Sometimes I've
we
even got a thank you out of doing stuff.
He's put up a whole. He flew a fencing for people and all he
I told
you didn't even get a thank you didn't get a thank you
what?
For that, did you, for that fencing you put up for
no
people?
No, you don't know, he thanked me, he said sure thank you,
but what,
but he said well, the way it was, I went over there, I wasn't working in the university and I more or less, you know, just working for myself, and I went over there, kept my, took my tractor over there and went over there and did a lot of work for him, went over and took my post old diggers, went along there and put the post in the ground. We were working along there. I wasn't planning on charging them nothing for it to start with. And all of a sudden, he took his digger, stuck him up in the ground, and put his hands on his hip and looked at me. And I went, what the heck? He said, you know you're not getting paid for this, don't you? That's what he said.
Is this saying you're crazy for coming over here working so hard?
I said, I know it. I said, I wasn't planning on getting paid. I said, just doing it to be friendly. And then when I went around there and on the other side of his place there, he had a heck of a place, a bunch of palmettos there I was cutting up with my bushing bog, making my fence throw out through there. And one of those, a root caught the valve stem on my right front tar and yanked that valve stem off of there, and that tar went right down flat. Yeah, I was stuck. He walked over and looked at it. He said, that's bad. He said, I'm sorry, but I don't have no time to help you. He said, I wish I had time to help you, but he said, I got too much to do.
And he walked off.
He walked on off. Here I was working for him for nothing. Cutting out a fence row and everything. And you think he'd stop and help me fix my tire after I worked for him?
Or take him to town so he could get his own tire fixed.
His son went over there, Jimmy Gleason. He went over there and helped me, went back and got his old Model A, and came back over there and had me take the tire off and put it back. I took and put it in my car and took it on town and got it fixed. I had to put a, get a new valve stem for them.
But if it hadn't been
when, it, when I got back,
to town.
I took it to Latimer's and I think they charged me $1.75 to put another stem on it, on the tube.
Plus all your trip.
Plus trouble going in there. And when he got back, I figured, well, he'd pay me for the fixing, getting putting the valve stem on anyhow. What did the charge you fixing the tube? I said $1.75. Well, that's not so bad. Yep, don't work.
Crazy, I'm telling you. But those are the kind of neighbors we got.
I used to like, you know, do a little work for the church stuff. And I got burned up there in Orlando one time with a church. They was going to have them clean up day around the church and everything. And the preacher, that was for a long time before me. Before I even started going to Shirley.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, well, that was a long time ago. But the preacher asked me if I had a mower machine. And I said, yes, I got one I made. I had one I made, wrote it. So I took it down there, lawnmower. So I went down there, and I mowed around the church and everything. He had one, and he mowed some. I had three or four of us. Brought a mower machine down there, mowed around the church, and got it all cleaned up and everything. Well, then during services, right before services, he got up there. Well, I got the yard all cleaned up. It's I.
He didn't say a word.
He didn't
about
say a word about anyone happening. Well, I got the lawn all mowed out here, and he said it looks really nice. He said, started getting up there and bragging. I felt just like taking my shoe off and throwing it out.
And all those other guys fixed everything.
I got the yard mowed, he said, and the tree hedges trimmed and everything. Had a bunch of guys came.
Well, after all, he had the floor.
Yeah, he
had. He
sure didn't toot my horn. He tooted his horn real loud.
Everybody that did know it noticed it and told him about it.
But I,
oh, they did.
Yeah.
But I didn't take my lawnmower down there no more. I said, since he did it, he can do it again. Next time without my help. I hate to be made.
Yeah, but you learn so hard, Berman. It's
yeah.
Hard to learn.
Yeah, but I never get through learning, it looks like.
I don't know. Sometimes I think it's a great mistake for me to ever try to do a thing myself, because I don't get any help. So I could help a few people myself. And then I think about it. It ain't as easy to help people as you might think.
No, it ain't.
They got their own ideas. Right.
When you go over there and start helping people, you start going to start helping someone. He's wanting something from me. He's going to take me for a ride. The very first chance he gets, he's wanting something. He wouldn't be over here helping me. That's the attitude a lot of people take, you know.
Yeah.
He's wanting something.
Just like Cleveland. You know you're not going to get paid. Are you crazy fool?
You can't depend on help no more. I don't hire nobody.
You're just lucky to have help in your own family.
What help I get there is from Shirley. Looking at anybody can drive a darn tractor. Tommy can do that. Drive a tractor longer while we throw the hay on it. And that John and I will throw the hay on there and let the other boys roll it off and we get ready to unload.
Yeah.
Before Johnny was, when Johnny was just 5 years old when we moved down here, I got this Gleason boy to help me with my hay. And we had about 500 bales of hay on the ground there one day. He went home to eat dinner. And he didn't show up. He didn't come back. We was going to put that hay in the barn. Here we had all that darn hay to put up.
Yeah.
And he didn't show up. He didn't come back. The next day, he showed up. Asked him where he was. Well, he said, I went home to eat dinner. And he said, you know, there was such a good football game on that television. He said, I had to stay home and watch it. He was
going
to college.
Oh, he was he?
Yeah, he was 20.
And all he wanted to do when he did come to work for us was drive that brand new tractor.
I figured a heck. And we was up there way up dark putting up that hay because I didn't want to get wet. I was afraid it might rain or something.
My experience is they don't want to help me whenever they get somebody. They want me to help them. If there's any work to do,
you
see, they'll get up on the tractor, and
I
load the wagon.
And here, about 2 months ago, I was down at the creek one day. You know where Nail's Fish Camp is?
Yeah.
Well, I know her. She's real good. She's a real nice person, but she gets you goat sometimes. I went in there one day, and I hadn't seen her for 6 months, I guess. I don't go in there too often. In fact, I don't go down the creek too often. I just go down and get gas and go on about my business. But I went in there and...
They got good service on that?
Yeah, she got good prices too. And but Mr. McFarland, I built a room on his house last year. John and I went down and built a room and a porch on it, screened-in porch, on the back of his house. And I saved him quite a bit. I think it's actually for labor and everything, cost him about $1,200 or $1,300. And there's some guy, a carpenter here in town, he had up there for almost about $4,000 for labor. He really had a price to build a house for what he wanted. But anyhow, we got through with that, and she'd evidently been in the field or something like that. I had to match it up with the rest of the house. And she's building a little duplex across the road from her fish camp to rent. That's a double apartment, is what it was. Had all the blocks up, the floor poured, and all the plumbing in. And she said, I noticed she hadn't had the roof on. She had all the trusses laying there in the pile, No one to put them on. She was sitting there at the cashier. She said, "Miss Dodd, you, you do carpenter work, don't you?" I said, "Sometimes." I said, "I don't know how much time to do it." She said, "I need somebody to put the trusses on my apartment over there for me." She said, "I don't have no one to do it." She said, "I can get some help," but she said, "I just don't trust them doing a job getting it done right." She said, "I need someone to make sure it's done right." She said, and she goes to church down at that new church at the creek, you know. She's one of the big doers in that church. And she said, "I got three men that will donate their time if I can get someone to help them." She said, "I'm wondering if you could help them."
Need the fourth.
Otherwise, she just wanted me to donate my time. She said, "You can do it in a day."
That got his guilt.
I can do it in a day. Put all them trusses up and put the sheet and everything
donate
on it.
Donate his time in one day.
And she wanted me to donate my time. I know that's what she wanted, because she said she had three other guys that would donate their time. Three other guys that would donate their time if I could get someone to supervise it for me. Then finally I left. I already left. And she said, "I'll tell you what I'll do." She said, "I'll give you $100 if it happens." I said, "No, I'll tell you what." She said, "I just thought maybe you could use $100, extra $100.
Well, you can't blame her for being shrewd.
But you go down there and get a meal.
Boy, I'll tell
you. You pay for it.
Mother's Day, was it? You went
Yeah,
down
I went down there on Mother's Day, and I got decided, well, this is Mother's Day, and I told Cheryl, I said, "Don't fix nothing." I said, "I'll go down there to the creek and I'll get nailed and fry up the fried chicken and stuff." So I supposed to got a serving for seven people. It was, she charged me $17 and a half. And you ought to see what it was. Two pieces of chicken apiece, and I think she cut up quail for that, because they were all for small pieces. A chicken. You don't see no drumsticks. It's about that long. And it looked like someone already ate half the meat off of them.
Or you got a beef too.
Huh? Or, yeah.
And it tasted like it was fried in hog grease.
And the bowl of peas, nothing but warmed up English peas. And I don't think there was over a can there. That's no kidding. The little bowl, about that big around, and it's supposed to have been divided seven ways among us. And then she had a bowl of coleslaw, and that coleslaw, I know darn well, it had been made for two or three days. It was old. And then beans, same as beans. And none of it was warm.
Those black-eyed peas, I think, been warmed over
and
warmed
then
over. And
seven little pieces of cornbread.
And there wasn't enough
for $17.
Right there.
And then she told me she gave me a cut rate on that.
And I gave
she charges
to
more
chicken.
To other people.
You gave it to the chicken.
I gave it to the chicken. We couldn't eat it. It was
that
was, it
was actually
full,
actually
it, was.
It wasn't. I we couldn't even eat it. The kids didn't even want to eat it.
Well,
and Freddie Wood told me down here. He said him and his wife and their boy. This was he told me that here
when they were doing the watermelon.
Yeah, long time ago. He said him and his wife and his son, they went down there and got supper one night. He said he was tired and everything. She happened to be over there. He said they decided they'd go down to Nails and get supper. So they got a child's plate and their plate, and it was around $12 or something.
You mean that?
That's what she charges everybody.
She'll
charge you just to stand there and look around.
Well, don't they have the prices listed anywhere?
I haven't seen the prices.
They charge you whatever.
There's no prices around
that. And I think they look at you and your pocketbook and everything else, and they. I don't know. That's
don't know how
set price.
She does, but she has a heck of a price on everything.
Somebody went down there, a family, a foursome. It was two couples. It was four people. And they ordered, shrimp. Wasn't it shrimp or fish or something? Anyway, they argued about who was going. One said, "I'll pay it." No, the other one said, "I'll pay it." And then they decided they'd pay, go Dutch. Each couple paid for their own. But the entire bill came to $27.50. And both of them almost fainted. Matter of fact, one guy had to borrow money from the other.
I don't know how
she
gets people come back. And she has them standing in line. to get in there. That's what I don't understand. How they must love to throw the money away.
I thought it was sort of, you know,
it's a but
they don't set price.
No,
you go there. They set it right on the table. She has maybe dinner be served from 12 to 2. After that, there's nothing. She puts it away.
And then when you go by the cash register to pay for what you've had, then she asks you what you had, or she knows what you've had, and she's already made you up a bill before you get to the cash register. And boy, she really charged.
That's nails?
Nails.
I remember not to go there.
Yeah, it's a good place to stay away from. The other place across the
Yearling,
that's about the cheapest dish I think you can get there. Yeah, but
They serve whiskey and everything
but
else.
But they serve you
it's quite a
drink.
Rough place,
they
I think.
They serve you drinks at Mountain. Of course, it goes up and up and up.
I don't know.
We don't drink, so we don't go in there at all. But I've heard tell that you could run up an awful bill just sitting there eating supper and drinking a few drinks.
I used to eat out all the time. I sure would. It'd break a man now, wouldn't it?
Ooh,
oh, goodness, yeah. I get so when I go to at work, when I go into some of those little restaurants, I just lose my appetite going in there.
Sometimes you take his lunch, sometimes you buy it.
I don't even care about going in there. I get so tired of hamburgers and junk like that. Every one of them is like, and I just get to the place where I don't even care about eating them.
Well, this fella down here at that Hereford place, that big rich man down there, the fella is who runs it. What's his name? He furnishes hay to all those horse farms. He just sells vast quantities of hay. And goes to mostly, I think. Maybe not now. I know Willie Chitty wanted to get some hay one year, so he watched him when he was cutting, and he saw some good hay over there one day when he was there, so he just took his truck right. He just picked out the bales he wanted and hauled it off in his truck, little pickup truck. I guess 150-200 bales, that's all he needed. You don't know them?
No.
Who is it?
Oh, it's that big place down the road here, you see.
I can't think of the name either.
Whereabouts is it at?
It's just down the road, about 10 miles, you know.
And it's that Ocala.
Oh, yes. It's,
Is it on 301? I mean, 441?
Freddie used to farm there.
On 441? Where
that Mexican?
No, that's on the old 301.
No.
How far is it from that North Cattle Company on there where they have all the bangers?
It's
just
out of there, I think.
On this side of there.
Bo Peep.
No, this is not a horse farm.
Well, that's a cattle.
Yeah.
All you have is Hereford. Horn Hereford.
Oh. What is his name?
D.P. Leitner runs it. But he don't own it. But anyhow.
You mentioned his name on the phone to me a few times.
Yeah.
I can't think
anyhow,
of his name.
Anyhow, I haven't been down there in a long time. But I kind of like to see what they do.
Do you know him?
He's a good farmer, Leitner.
Mm-hmm.
He went broke, but that's not nothing. You know,
don't say that way.
I think he did well to stay in business as long as he did.
Cupid does
like
that say?
60 or something like that.
Really?
And then he got so far in the hole, he just couldn't get out. So the bank recommended him to this fella. And he's a little slick. You have to watch him. But you can do that anyhow. I mean, watch him. You know, the fella,
Dick Wilkerson.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
He was a good farmer.
Yeah.
He was farming pretty good.
Now his brother up there, he don't farm much. He just tired out now.
I don't know him.
He's not a colorful character. He's just an everyday guy. But
yeah.
Wilkerson really stood out.
He's
Dick Wilkerson. This one here, he's very quiet. He goes about his own business, and he doesn't associate very much.
Who's that?
His brother.
I
don't know him.
I used to see his brother up there at the Baptist church up there.
Is Archie Dick's son? Is he more like Dick or his uncle?
I don't know his uncle.
I mean Archie. He's
I know Archie. He's
He's sociable, isn't he?
Yeah, he's real sociable.
I don't know.
He lives over there.
I wouldn't know him if I seen him.
Oh, I'd know him. I've seen him several times. He works for Bell Telephone. He's a lineman for the telephone company.
You had good melons this year, Grandma.
Well.
But the season was a little screwy. Something like it.
Yes, it sure was.
Oh, you had that gasoline shortage about that time, didn't you?
Yeah, we had a gasoline shortage, but see, we had so much rain, it ruined our hay for melons, you know.
Yeah.
That early rain, it just drowned them down there in the back. We didn't get them all. We planted 50 acres, but actually we wound up with about 25. It just ruined the whole back in our field. No melons. Yeah.
And then what we did,
and then when it came in, we came in at the wrong time. We only got 2 cents a pound for them, which was nothing. And about 3 weeks later, the price jumped up to 3.5-4 cents a pound.
Yeah.
They got.
So
went
up 2.5.
Think of that. Weeks later. You know, the whole thing has been such curious things happen that affect the market.
Yeah.
Like when Shelley told the cows,
he wanted me to sell out the whole works.
Yeah, I
did. We don't have very many left.
Yeah.
We've called out.
Last week, things the market was bad. Market last week.
I don't really have very
many. Well, you got to keep a little nucleus of something to work with.
Yeah, that's it.
You
can't sell down to nothing.
No.
Yeah, that's what I told her. Just sell it and just hold on to the money.
Yeah.
People standing around there begging for cows and stuff, and now everybody buy 2 or 3 calves. They got about an acre in the back of the yard. They're trying to think they're gonna get rich off that 1 acre with some calves in it. You know,
yeah.
You everywhere you go around here, you see someone got 2 or 3 calves in the backyard trying to raise them. I think they're gonna get rich.
How much was it we made on not? They bought that bull and 2 cows or 3 cows? And
2 cows.
3 cows. Huh? Yeah, 93 Lyles and 300. Three cows, a calf, and Patrick.
I don't remember.
Well, the cows went for 500, one. 450, 500. 450 and 500 for the one that had the calf.
But
I.
They
weren't your prime cows. Yeah, they were pretty good. The ones they picked out. They just picked them out and I sold them because we.
But the doggone market.
But that market
we went. I went to market here.
I didn't really do a very good job on the cows. I got a good price.
See, it was Monday we could go.
No.
Tomorrow would be 2 weeks ago when we went to market.
See.
And we bought some stuff over there. And. The same thing that they're selling there then, last Monday, it dropped at 20, 25 cents a pound on the hook.
That's back.
Oh, that's
10 years ago.
Yeah, it was. That's no kidding.
That was 25 cents.
That good stuff. Good stuff. That was,
I
hadn't been over there, but Toby, I had two to tell me about it. Toby always worked for Brownlee. He said he was over there last Monday. And he said stuff was weighing around 300 pounds. 300 or 400 pounds, going to bring in 30 and 35 cents a pound on the hoof.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Where do you run into Toby?
Brownlee. He works for Brownlee Seed Store.
Oh, you're down there. You go down there.
I go down there and buy seed from him.
Yeah. Well, that's about as high price. That's the best you can do?
Well, it's the best feed in town.
It is.
At Farmers,
yeah.
Farmers Mutual, we get cobweb.
I buy cow feed there, and I don't know, maybe it's different now, but here when we first moved down here.
And they don't always have it at Farmers Mutual.
No,
I buy feed over at first. I tried to buy and feed over at Hawthorne. I had a little feed store over there, and get the cow dairy feed and have webs and bugs crawling around in it. It's musty smelling. And she charged us what to eat. So I figured, heck, I ain't not going over there and buying feed no more. So I tried there at Farmers Mutual, and their feed come out musty in the same way. And I tried at Ferris and Johnson. Finally, I went over to Brownlee's and got some. Well, it had good fresh feed. Had a good sweet smell to it. The cow liked it. So I've been buying it over there ever since. But,
well,
they've got.
John's not going to give you anything either.
No, they sure won't. I don't know how. I don't know. Maybe their feed's different now. I don't know. But I've been buying feed at Brownlee's ever since. Until. Well, in fact, I just quit buying dairy feed. It's around.
Now you never have tried Seminole.
Well, they're way out the way and everything.
The hell they are. They'll come right back.
Well, I know they'll deliver it for me and everything. But what I mean, see, I'm in town every day and. And last time I think of something I want right then, I was running pop going by there and get it on the way home.
Yeah.
It's too convenient. It really is.
Yeah.
Really. I'd like to see you try some of that brown, that Seminole stuff, just to see how it stacks up against the other that you.
Have you ever bought feed from C&L over in Melrose?
No, I don't have anything to haul in, Shirley.
They're trying their darndest. Mr. Baker wants Johnny, when he gets his steer, to start buying feed from C&L. I think he's got a profit in this somewhere along the line. But anyhow, they've got a new system. There's some kind of a vitamins that you put in with the feed, and you give them corn, strictly nothing but corn in the morning, and then something like a steer fattener in the evening. But you put this this vitamin, Metcalf, something like that is the name of it. You add it to the feed, and it really makes the steer grow off real good. So they're trying their darndest to get Johnny to put this steer on the same formula that they want the chapter steer on. Well, it's up to them as a group. To decide, they were supposed to, as a group, go out and buy the steer, but somehow or another, it's all messed up this year. Pat Baker is the one that is purchasing the bull without even the boys looking at it. This is no way to do it. And then too, they're all supposed to agree on where the feed's to come from, what kind of feed they're going to feed it, and all this. But they're out of the whole picture, and it kind of burns me up. And they wanted to sell Johnny that a running. Black Angus steer. Johnny said,
"Oh,
does
it turn out to be Rundy?"
That's what he thinks. Mr. Baker went over there today. Well, see, he was just buying it on the telephone, hadn't even looked at it.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Baker went over there. Yeah, he went over there today and he saw it and he said, "Oh, he says if you can get another steer anywhere, he says get another one. Get another steer." So, I said, "Well." We'll tell Mr. Miles. Johnny wanted me to call you back this evening and let you know that he's definitely.
Well, Johnny, he had a little bad luck, you know, when he first got it. He didn't get to show it in the show and that, you know, that bull and everything. King got pneumonia.
Yeah.
Just at the time the show was starting.
Yeah.
And then
he
didn't get to show him. He wanted to take him to the Tampa Fair, and then here he was with pneumonia. He had pneumonia for a couple of months, on and off.
He really had plans.
Yeah.
Ooh,
he'd had plans of taking him to. The Tampa Fair and everything else. I'm sure he could won some ribbons with him.
He's going to show him again in February. He wants to so bad.
Yeah.
But even though he sold him, the lady that bought him has given him permission to take him to Tampa Fair to see what he can do with
him. Yeah, but darn, he needs to spend his time with his own stuff.
I know.
Go all the way over there and wind up.
They're feeding him heavy
and
they're grooming him every day, so. They're working with him just like Johnny would have worked.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I hate to change the subject, but it's getting late.
Yeah, I know it. We got those kids to fish. Well, I haven't even fed them supper yet, and I got to get them in bed.
And you haven't,
so
what about me? I haven't had none either.
You know, neither.
I told you I'd get some chicken. You. Yeah. You know,
I got chicken Perlo sitting on the stove.
Oh,
Well, they had chicken furlough at noon.
Yeah, we're going to have some more for supper.
That was something coming here without something. I give them a glass of water.
That's all right. We've been
you
running.
Missed a toothpick, though.
No, we've been running around, so I was at the hospital, and he said to feed the boys dinner. Ronnie and I ate before we left, and then he fed them the dinner while we were gone. We got back in, he was out mowing hay. He'd already put some in the barn.
I put up a little bit this afternoon. I think I had about 75 bales I put up.
And they were supposed to bring that chapter steer out this afternoon, so Johnny sat and waited and watched, and they didn't bring that bull out, that steer out, so somebody goofed along the line. At least I did get Bonnie to the hospital back then.
Let's figure out then what we're going to do here.
Yeah, he wanted to know about how
so,
many cows you had. Or
so we know what we're going to do. What you got, you're going to sell.
I'm going to sell them all.
How many heads is that?
I got 20 cows and 5 red heifers. Eight of the weanlings, that's the egg you have all. And, of course, the calves, still got the calves. I don't know. I get busy at the calf season. I know to take them in, you see, but I didn't do it. And then I heard about those big crowds, you see, that they have so many of them, they're taking in so many. And I thought, Lord, heifers, I'll take calves up there, and they'll be midnight before they get sold.
Yeah, well, that's
true. And you know what you do, you just keep putting it off.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Berman, this feed business on the calves, now the only trouble is, those calves, they just bounded. Somebody gotta save calves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the world just got too many people eating.
Right.
That's right.
And you just don't know how long it lasts and what it is. You see, they at Washington, it seems to be the place that goofs as much as anything else.
Well, they goof all down there.
And you see, they're exporting so much. You know what I heard the fellow say? Now he was an official in the some farm magazine, but anyhow he was, you know, he's a cattleman, been in the cattle business, and he said that in the wheat that a 5% surplus would cut the price down 20%, and that's how sensitive the thing was. And you see what it is, it's just those damn traders up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like people raise wheat for those traders.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the traders or the vegetable buyers that put the farmers out of business here, or they still be raising vegetables, but you can't raise them. It's just like your selling watermelon. You may be selling for 2 cents, and the fellow you sell them to may be selling for 5 cents.
Yeah,
you don't
right.
know.
Selling more than that.
So you see, that's I think that affects it. And you see these big people with all those storage places. I think you see they can. Well, I weigh more. I'm outside the script. You see, that's more than I know.
So you'd have, so you got 20 cows, that'd be 13 cows, you said 13 heifers?
20 cows and 5
bred heifers. 5 is bred.
Yeah, the other one surely is light.
Yeah. One thing, we're not be able to take all of them, because I don't see how. We just don't have the pasture for all.
Well, I'll tell you just how it is.
If we
how much are you wanting for the cows?
Well, he wants to sell them all together.
Yeah, I know that, but I mean a piece.
Vernon, I have had a pretty close offer for $450 for the cows and the bred heifers, and I'm not sure just what the others will bring.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine around, $350, $375
Well, our problem is I don't know whether we're going to be able to get enough money up or not.
I think your problem is your this fall and then next spring you got to have some bahia something to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm clearing up those oak trees. I'm gonna plant all that in bahia.
Is what kind of bahia did you say this is? He's got out here. Argentina.
It looked like Argentina.
Is that Argentina?
Is that Argentina or Pensacola?
I just got Pensacola.
That's Pensacola.
Pensacola.
You got real thick.
But you know what? Now, there's not many people who have bahia grass who make the most out of it.
Mm-hmm. They don't fertilize it. They don't take care of it.
Well, you know how to take care of it, of course.
Yeah.
And all. But it'll go, you see, from so early.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
yeah.
Up until the frost knocks it out.
Yeah. It's your best pasturing.
And, yes. And I have heard him say this, that, now, I thought the contrary, but I'm coming around to it a little bit. They say you can fatten on bahia just as much as you can on anything else.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep the bahia in good shape.
Yeah.
Well,
that's all Mrs. Gleason has over there, isn't it?
I know, that's all she got.
And boy, her cows are fat.
Oh,
just
are.
Like yours.
They are?
Yeah.
It's not her cow. It's Ben Arnold's cow.
Well, he takes care of them in the wintertime, though. She didn't do as good a job, I don't think, as he did.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
That means a lot, keeping them, you know, healthy and big during the wintertime. Then in the spring, they're already on a good start for the
yeah.
bahia.
The guy's cows never have gone down.
I know
they,
it.
They never
even
looked as if they've been
there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they
scrapped
the winter now.
Those that I bought
you're
from
you're not going to keep
they
them?
Don't
them.
Lose
their weight. No. They're not keep some of them.
Well, it's like this, Berman. I do way under too much type and desperate now.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go out there, I'm sort of half cocked, addled. And then, at the best, you see, if something goes wrong with the machinery, I'm more likely to bust it if I fix it, you see. And I can't get any help.
Mm-hmm.
You
can't even get anybody custom.
He
said he'd get somebody to plant his rye.
Yeah, if I could get
a
little bit.
No, there's less and less people doing this anymore.
See, I was doing custom work until I started working over at the university. I just
that
knocked
that in the hole.
Yeah.
Hole
I just
head.
Couldn't do it no more.
Oh, no.
I couldn't even get my own work done.
No, do it.
It's killing him now, and he had to give up the scout. Now
I told him over there. I just had to quit that. I just couldn't get my hay up and do all my work and everything.
I don't know how you do it.
And
we
and
were
go,
running around,
run around
the
over there, and then
we
go spend
prone.
The night, camp out with them boys. And every once in a while, I just couldn't do it. And then go to all these meetings and stuff they have.
But we figured when
well,
he started it,
you,
he had
you,
to spend some time with the kids.
Do that too.
Yeah. Needs to go take these boys out and go camping
yeah.
with them, fishing with
that'd
them.
Be
things
well
like
we'll
that.
Take all that hay.
But he's just got to.
Well, you have got to get something up for him to eat. If I'm going to neglect them, I might as well get rid of them.
Well, yeah, that's right. Well, you see, if I had just a little help, you couldn't hire me to get rid of those cows.
Well,
see,
that's
I
where
feel about them. I just like to go out there and mess with them.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, it's so good to get him outside.
Yeah.
Yes. And you see, they don't care if you raise your voice.
No, they don't care one bit.
No, sir.
You must do what I do out there.
And you know what? Let me tell you one of the things.
Well, bless
them out. You can get behind them and see if they don't move. You can. Your voice moves them better than anything else. And as soon as you get where you're going, they know it and they just relax. I never saw anything like it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can go up there and tickle her ribs, you want to?
I wish they'd been when they were like, they were all together on the ride.
We had no problem. You should have seen it. We didn't go to them. They all came to us.
And they just stood there and I went around and patted everyone.
Well, I'll tell you what the way we're situated. You know, you're gonna want more for them than what we got. That's a problem. That's why I asked you if you were gonna keep any of them.
Yeah, that's what I was
just
thinking too. Is only the cows.
I tell you what I got. I got 11,000, and you got more cows than I got money.
Well,
so we were thinking either the heifers or the cows, and maybe their calves or something.
You got more cows than I got money to buy. Sure, said you wanted to sell them all together.
Well, I can put in rye for all of them about as easy as I can.
Oh yeah, that's true. You're going, if you can, you know, you get put it in, you might as well put it in for all of them as put it in for two or three.
Yeah, and it's just about as easy to put in 30 or 40 as it is 10.
How many were you wanting to sell, the little steers along with the cows, or the bunch, or are you going to sell in the market, or what? Well, you mentioned something about getting them up in the pen, so I couldn't understand what you.
Just marking the heifers that looked as if they could tell who the mamas were at all.
Uh-huh. No, I meant the steers. You remember you said something about getting them up in the pen Monday, and I was just wondering if you were going to take them.
Well, you have 20 cows, that'd be $450 a piece, that'd be $9,000, wouldn't it? And you got 8 head. Those heifers, you said, that's $350 a piece.
It'd be somewhere around there.
24. That'd be $2,800. Then you got 5 heifers that's bred, you said, didn't you?
Yeah.
They were the same price as the cows?
Yeah. They are, but the thing about it, Bama, what I'm worried about is you need a little bit, before you take them on, you need a little bit more permanent pasture.
Mm.
Is what sort of worries me. You see here,
well,
I've got
twice
too much.
Yeah.
And they do beautifully here, but they
never get this down, you see,
because
they sand.
How soon would you have to move them?
How soon?
Yeah.
Well, you could leave them as long as you want to.
Well, I got about 10 acres of those oats. Cleaned up. I'm trying to clear up all of those. I'm going to put them by hair grass.
Well, get it fenced in.
Well, if you sow it real good, get a good, sow it good and heavy, and get a good stand.
They love it that first year. It must be sweet and tender that first year.
Mm.
But it's when the pickets there, you know.
Mm. The guy down at the creek, he bought a lot down there. And that crazy guy, he went out there and a lot is no bigger, about twice as big as your house, and he put around about 200 or 300 pounds of hay of grass on that one lot. You ought to have seen the grass. Boy, he had instant grass. It wasn't 2 or 3 weeks. He had two or three sprinklers running at one time out there on that stuff. Trying to get
that right.
And it wasn't 2 or 3 weeks' time. He had grass like this, and that stuff got so thick out there. I never seen the lot.
He wasn't long. He was out there
crazy
pushing the
lot.
Like,
he just put a solid coat of grass seed on that ground.
And the next time we'd go by through there, it wouldn't be a day or two later. He was mowing again. He'd mow. He was driving.
Well, right there in
crazy,
our front yard, we saw it. We sprigged that, you know.
It looked like he was
mowing. I sowed grass seed out there in the front yard trying to get some grass from the house.
Yeah.
Couldn't get nothing to come up. I put sprinklers and everything on, nothing come up. So finally I decided, the heck with this, I'm gonna sprig you. So I went out there and put little rows about every 12 inches apart through there, and I sprigged it. Boy, I got a sod out there now.
It's a beautiful lawn. We got a few sand spurs.
Yeah, I got to go. Every time before I mow anything, I have to go down and put up those sand spurs.
You You know what knocked them tractors?
What's that? Well, it knocked me too, because I had to mow it twice as often. I went out there and I fertilized that thing here.
Yeah.
Year before last, I was good gracious. I had to go out there. All I did was mow that front yard.
Well, that only gives you an idea of what it, for what your Bahia will do with a little bit of fertilizer out in the pasture.
That's right. That's right.
I love Bahia.
Well, now you see this back lane. It never had a rut in it since I've been here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just put a very, just sprinkle it a little bit of fertilizer every now and then. And the cows graze it.
Mm-hmm.
The only rut in it is where they walk. You can't keep, I haven't found any remedy for that.
Yeah. No, you won't get rid of that because they all follow the leader. And they get a path out and they keep going.
I want to take Shirley over to Maximus.
That's the guy I thought you were talking about. No, it's not him. No.
I want to see it myself.
What's that?
Now Maxie is an old cabbage, old bean farmer, way over there past Shiloh. He's the original stock, and his old family's there. What's left of them? They stuck right there. He got a couple of sisters who live up on the little red house there on the land there. Goes on deaf. He's deaf.
Oh.
Hard of hearing, goes in some families. You know that?
I didn't know that. No.
That's awful. Not to be any more serious than it is. Being hard of hearing. Hmm. Well, anyhow, he got all that land, and it's heavy land. And he got a lot of wood. He's cleared up a whole lot of it, but he's got a lot of woods left. And the first time I saw it, now he's the one, you see, that leaves the bull with the cows, and the cows wean their own calves.
Mm-hmm.
And you see calves on them cows big enough to be cows themselves. Oh. I'm telling you, it's comical. You know how that is.
And the cows are in good shape.
Oh, stay in good shape. What are them some of? Well, let me tell you what. I was over there, it must be 2 years ago, because I tried it over here, that following winter, and I didn't have luck at all, but I think I know why. That was the first year they put in ryegrass, and they put it right there with the pangola or with the bahia, you see, just, you know how they did it.
Mm-hmm.
They just scattered it there. They didn't make a seed bed, they just scattered
it. Yeah, we always do. I just get it. Broadcast it.
And fertilized it.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff come up heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And it held them cows all winter. I don't know what he fed those cows.
The trouble is, ryegrass don't have no protein to it.
He gave them pellets.
Oh, that's probably what it was. And he gave them pellets with high protein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gave them the rye for a filler.
Filler. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was heavy. Well, I tried it over here and I fertilized it too. And mine didn't hardly come up. I think what happened was that next winter it was warm and it never, when I fertilized it, it just kept the bahia grass growing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the ryegrass
never did do it.
I put a little bit out here in the yard and it did well about May.
The rye?
The ryegrass.
In May?
Well, it's awful late.
Yeah, but doesn't it? It takes cold weather to do anything.
Well,
why did it come up? I wonder.
Everything comes up in our yard, so it never gets cold.
Well, it just came up late, and then it headed out, and it was knee high and all like that. Well, anyhow, I didn't get any good out of it, so I'm not a believer in ryegrass.
Well, I just thought last year I wasn't gonna plant no more ryegrass. I'd rather take that money and put it in seed.
Well, you never planted ryegrass.
Every year.
Every year we did.
You talking about rye.
Yeah, rye, just rye.
I'm talking about ryegrass.
The grass. You're talking about the grass. No,
yeah.
I'm talking about the rye.
I'm talking about ryegrass.
Hmm.
Yeah, you got to have
no wonder
it
came up in May. That's, I was turned around too there, yeah.
Well, anyhow, I didn't get anywhere with it, and I don't have the nerve to try it again.
But this Maximilian, he has the rye grass.
He did that year. I don't know if he had a sense or not, but he still got them cows.
The
lightning is still
fed
off.
Well, now, does that come back year after year, or you have to cut it, or it seeds itself?
You got to reseed it.
You have to reseed it.
You got to all rye, mill it, and all that stuff.
The hay is better.
Every bit of it, you got to go back and reseed it.
Why, it didn't come up?
I think that's what helped guys.
Oh, the oats, yeah. Well, what was that we planted down the back of our pasture there that never did come up? That was rye, wasn't it?
Millet,
that's right.
Didn't mount the hill of beans.
Remember, I was so afraid the cows was going to eat
I
down.
I don't know what happened to that millet. I put
500
pounds of 10-10-10 on it, and it didn't do a thing.
Go, cause they stayed in the
it came
anyhow.
Up about this high.
But that stuff never did grow here. It was coming up real nice, and I thought, my God, if they eat that down now, he'll kill me. I thought I had to get those cows away from there. But they weren't bothering a thing. They just wanted to get over under the shade.
I don't know. It's probably the soil. I should have had it tested. So,
or the seed?
No, it wasn't seed. Not the seed. It came up. And if the seed was good, it either come up or it wouldn't come up.
But that clover has come up in there.
Well, that's beside the point. Probably what kind of ground is good for one kind of ground,
it
won't be good for another.
Well,
like on some grounds, it takes sour ground for some grasses. Other grasses can't stand sour ground.
But he says he's going to plant that whole 40 acres over there in Bahia.
Well, how much would that be all together? Maybe a little over 14,000. Did you have it figured out?
Unless we sold all ours.
We'd have to sell some stuff on sale. Sell some of those caves out there.
But some of them I bought from you is getting to be quite a good age on them.
Well, just as long as they keep producing.
Yeah, there's three of them there that do real good.
I've got one cow here, 1957, she's got the best calf.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Now that Martha.
She got her mold set already.
How old is she? she must be close to 12. It is.
Yeah. And you know, Elvenine, it depends on the light you look at her. Sometimes you look at her, she looks sort of like skin and bone. But if you get her in the right light, she looks just as plump as any of them.
Yeah.
And she's small and she has a big head.
She is small and she has. Isn't that amazing?
You know, we were saying the other day, it's a shame, you know, that you couldn't just pick out the best cow.
You know, I told you that I saw this fella who had these little, he bought these little old puny cows at the livestock market, and he got one, he did the artificial.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's better than any bull you can get.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That is no trouble. It's the way they tell me, once you get the hang of it, it's
I wish I could do it.
It's simple.
The problem is, my cousin used to do that, but he had to have one of these freezers to put this stuff in.
Yeah.
And it had to be way down, 30 or 40 below zero.
Oh, God, yeah.
You can't put it in a regular deep freeze. You got to have
200.
Way down there below. Yeah, probably, I think it is.
Yeah.
Way down
there. Yeah. Way down there.
It's got, and, he had a special freezer and everything. He used to go down and breeding people's cows for him. He used to go out to Hot's Dairy all the time. That's Jack Dodd.
Yeah.
He used to go out to Hot's Dairy all the time.
Well, I've seen cows that came out of these little old Spindly Heifers, and they were pretty than any of these. They were all black, and they were big and they were thick.
Mm-hmm.
Or they came out prancing.
Yeah.
That's the truth. And you know, that's one thing that discourages me. I don't have enough. You see, I kind of do all this kind of keeping it sort of wore down until I don't have enough. I'm not enterprising anymore. You see, I don't have the energy to
spread yourself all over the place.
to be venturesome, you see. I just do it the old hard way, the old simple way.
But
we need to go. I want to go over there, Shirley, and I want you to see that thing here.
I've heard somebody, you mentioned him some often. Now you've got me wondering.
Well,
what
he just
what
ought to
see
what he's
yeah.
It's shameful the way
yeah.
he dies. It is.
I still haven't been able to think of that Hereford guy with the horned Herefords. I know who you
yeah.
mean, but I love it, Jackson.
Love it. He lives up
there. No, he lives over here in Ogden.
He's the other way.
He lives over
ah.
here in Rochelle.
Yeah, he's the one I had in my mind.
No, Love it, Jackson lives over in Rochelle.
Yeah.
His daddy, you know, that's gone and all those Herbert herds in the country.
This guy you're trying to think of?
Oh,
Lovett Jackson, yeah.
Yeah, he's an old timer here.
Yeah, his daddy was an old timer. They all knew him.
Hmm.
I it'd be interesting to know just how many herds is left of his old man Jackson tripping down this county. I bet you can find a bunch of them.
Hmm.
As much as things change.
Well, how did you ever get started with the Hereford?
Just accident.
Is
just
that right?
Accident. I was looking for some cows, and I saw these advertised, and the man had them up here at Lee. And I went up there and looked at them, and there were these cows.
Oh, I do know.
Yeah.
You bought the whole herd.
And I bought the whole herd and got them down here the 1st of April. Half of them.
And it was his daddy that got us interested in. Well, he.
No, I've been here.
He, how long has daddy had cows? All his life, I guess.
Well, he missed them all his life.
Yeah.
Well, Angus just don't look right to me.
No.
Okay. Like
you can't see them. You ever try to catch one in the dark? Especially
nothing cuter than a little old white face.
Yeah.
I used to run Mrs. Gleason's cows. Well, I took care of her cows for her.
Yeah.
Before I started working at the university, I'd take care of cows one year, and her fences were sorry.
Yeah.
I'd work on her fences all the time, trying to keep them up.
Yeah.
And those cows would get out on the road, and they'd run around there and get on a real dark, wet night, and they'd get underneath one of those trees and stand there, and you'd walk right up to them before you see them with a flashlight.
We almost
you'd just stand, get up under the tree and stand still. And you'd be shining the light, you'd be shining straight at them, and you wouldn't even see them.
And they knew that.
Eyes yeah, black, and they, one thing about a nigger, they got white eyes. You can shine the light and see them. But a cat, they're old Angus, their eyes are the same color as they are.
They don't even shine red or anything like
no,
that.
No, they don't do nothing.
That one that we almost ran into on the highway there, Mrs. Bass's, remember we were going or coming from, we were going to Orlando. We left real early before dawn, you know, before daylight.
Yeah.
And we were just picking up a good speed. We got right in front of Mrs. Bass's house, and here was a big black cow. She's standing tail toward us, you know, going the other way.
I ran into a mule.
Woo! You did? A mule.
He sat right down on my radiator cap.
That
it didn't hurt
funny.
Either one, the mule or the
well,
radio.
You must have been going real slow.
But I got a letter from the lawyer 2 or 3 weeks later saying that mule was stove up and in bad shape.
Oh.
And they were going to
see you.
Take action, but they never did.
No. Oh, my.
Fun run into trouble. Now we've got the railroad, you see. They
yeah.
got a little out
yeah.
Well, yeah, we're going to have to go. Those kids are going to get in bed tomorrow, school day.
They're taking advantage of me being away from
home. I know, good and well. Every one of them is sitting there watching television right now.
Well, you're all celebrating. They're celebrating. They don't get this chance often, do they?
They probably tore everything, took everything out the refrigerator, left everything open.
You know, I know parents that go off and leave the children in charge. I do.
Ooh.
I do, Shirley.
Well, that's a good
and
idea.
And children are just as well behaved as any, apparently.
Leave Tommy
now,
in charge.
I'm not trying to tell anybody how to behave.
When one of my kids tell the other kid what to do, that's all there
that's,
was.
That's when the fight starts.
You might as well watch some bombs going through the house. I'm telling you. One kid said, now you go get me a drink of water. The other one said, let him have it.
No,
I told him, I said, you sit there and watch TV till I get back. But, boy, none of this Bonnie can't be the mother hen when I'm gone because...
Oh, she can't.
Oh, she's not gonna do nothing now. That
she'll get after one of the brewers. They try to mess up the house, but they'll fight her back. That's the trouble. But she pitches right in there. Yeah.
Well, what are we gonna do here now? We keep getting off the subject here. We gotta get going pretty soon.
I don't know. I'd like to have them all, but I don't know how in the world we could feed them all.
We don't have that much money right now.
I got this meeting with a fellow tomorrow, and I'm not too anxious to sell to him because I'm afraid he's just going to buy them to resell them to somebody, and I won't know where they are.
Yeah.
I don't care where they go, but they're not bush cows.
No.
But they work for a living. I mean, they're not pets, just like yours.
They pay for themselves, in other words.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing they won't do. They won't eat any of this old salt protein stuff they put out.
Protein.
They put that out, you know, with a sack of protein and two sacks of salt.
I never feed that.
Why, I've tried to feed, they don't even hardly look at it. And they are telling me down
there.
You
mean a powdered salt, Mike?
Yeah, the salt and the protein.
Make them eat less.
Well, that's what they feed the bush cows.
But you give yours the block salt, don't you? The minerals?
No, we're not talking about that. And my cows won't even look at it. And this fellow said to me, he said, well, they would eat it or not.
Uh-huh.
Well, what I want to starve them for. I mean, you get a lot of block-headed cattle people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't profess to know anything much, but I can tell when a cow walks off.
Yeah. You can tell when you eat and when you don't eat.
Another thing they won't do is they won't move in the hot weather.
No. There's something shady to say there.
No, I don't even try to handle them when it's in the hot part. I wait late afternoon. Early in the morning, because the cow is going, if she's under that tree, she's not going to leave that tree. She try to run around, she's going to run around the other side of it.
Yeah, it'd take two or three to get them.
Moved. Yeah.
And then.
And it's hard on the cow, too, to try to shove them around.
Yeah. You know what? If you could sort of watch them and see when they want to move.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of.
About 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they start moseying around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they'll
And do you know they've got their certain places where they're going to eat at certain times of the day, and I can go down in the field and find them in that same place. No matter, you know, I notice that maybe at 4 o'clock in the afternoon they're over in that little bit of clover field there, and then earlier in the day, around 12 o'clock, they're down at the water hole. They're standing in around the water, you know, under the shade of the hole. And then early in the morning they're way back in another pasture back in there. So they work their way on up. But they stay in the shade.
They move in much.
Well, no, they stay in that shade in the middle of the day, right there by that water hole, you know, in the water.
Yeah.
Then they'll mosey over about 4 o'clock, and then about 6 to 8 to 7 o'clock, they mosey back to the water hole again. So they're not they're not in a big hurry.
Do
they just
go
graze.
Down to your swamp there?
No, they can't
no,
go
they
in
can't
there.
Go into
I got fenced off. I got fenced off where they can't go back in there.
We don't want them in there.
I don't want them in there.
Well,
I just don't like them going out in that mud.
Oh, I see.
It's too boggy back in there.
Some of those places are peat beds back in there.
Oh.
And I got stuck in one of them last Saturday with my tractor. Hit it and it just went down there like that.
Oh, don't tell me.
It was a peat bed.
Don't tell me.
Best thing to do to a peat bed is get a drag line there and clean it out. Peat bed not be big around this room.
You had to get the bulldozer. And
I had to go down
to
the bulldozer and pull it out, pull the tractor out. That tractor went right down. It didn't even spin its wheel. Just like the bottom up.
Well, how'd you get out?
Oh, I can walk out.
Well,
I don't weigh 5 tons.
No, yeah.
It doesn't.
Well, I was thinking about
it.
Quicksand, I guess.
This is peak.
Peak, yeah.
It goes down so far, and then
I hit one peak bed down there one time, and I just dropped all the way down to right along here in it.
But all our
and
good pastures.
And walking along, all of a sudden, it just drops right, bottom drops out. You think you're on ground, but all you own is just a, it'll be just nothing but peat down there and a bunch of moss growing on top of the ground. It looked like the rest of the ground. And all of a sudden you hit it and nothing under you. You just go right down there. And I reached up and grabbed some grapevines. Grabbed hold of them grapevines, pulled myself out. It was a real cold day. I was right after we moved down
here. Didn't know it was there and you got into it.
And I walked in that peat bed.
You were looking for a calf, weren't you?
What it was, I think it was an alligator den is what it was.
Now you tell me.
Wasn't no water underneath there. Water and peat.
You know it's lucky in this swamp here, in this little swamp up here, and that big swamp back there, it's all solid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got solid, either sand or clay.
Now, there's two swamps of ours that's solid, and that's a beauty for in the winter.
Now, over there where our water hole is, it's all white sand around there.
Yeah.
It's good. But where you, the reason I don't want the cows out in that old peat and stuff, is you'd be having hoof problems before long. You'll be getting hoof frost from those old mud holes.
Yeah.
That old mud gets up between the feet, and it gets up between the feet, and it don't dry out.
And that old stuff has got insects in it.
Yeah, it has everything in it.
Things,
and that stuff will get between their hoof, and it'll stay there for hours when you dry out.
Yeah. So eventually it'll get a little irritation, and
starts
irritating.
She'll get cow get galled between her hoofs.
Yeah.
And then they start getting their hoof rot.
And then do they limp?
Oh goodness, they lose their feet. The hoofs come off.
Yes.
The hoofs can come off.
You know, I had one that hit out back there. I didn't know she was back there. She was down. And her foot rotted almost off.
Mm.
It was this big.
Oh no.
It was this big. And she's one of the pretty cows now. I got her.
Yeah. They'll get that way and they won't come up for nothing. They just lay down.
Just lay there and go get a drink. They get up to get
water. Yeah.
That's all I can see this bit. So it don't hurt, I guess, as long as they stay off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Pappy's had it once or twice. And you talk about putting on a show. He don't pay attention to any heifers or anybody else when he's got a sore foot.
How much you asking for your bull?
$500.
He loves that bull down there. He couldn't look for the cows for looking at the bull.
That's gonna be the hardest thing for me to see go is that bull.
Yeah. I love that
bull. He is good nature.
You can sure see Patrick in that, or see
but
him and Patrick.
Let me tell you, Shirley.
I'll tell you if I get him, you can come over and look at him.
I never saw, they call him, somebody told me they called a bull like that a breeder. I'm telling you, he gets after them.
Mm.
They can't get away from him.
I saw him in performance out there one day.
We had a couple of cows that guy had put in the chute that had to be bred one time.
Well, I tried.
They didn't get away from him, huh?
Oh, didn't need to.
He's so beautiful. He carries himself.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Well, how soon are you gonna move these now? I mean, sell them. I quit. You just said you got a guy coming over tomorrow.
Yeah. He'll be right away.
Well.
But he said you could keep them over here if you
don't know. See, I'm wanting to get that finished, clean up those oaks.
It would be a blessing for us because we're not quite ready for them. I want them and real bad, but I don't want to get them if I can't feed
them. This will be the first year I'll have plenty of hay.
I'd rather not even buy one if I couldn't, you know, make sure that it got what it, you know, the pasture that it needed. Those that we got there now, I'd like to have the chance to cull some of them out.
We need to get rid of a few of ours. Some of them getting old and got stuff out
so
there.
So I'll know that they have plenty of pasture, not overcrowded.
We got some stuff that really needs going.
Well, not many, but if I had known that you was going to sell yours, I would have sold them back, you know, when the prices were better. But
I didn't know it was.
Yeah.
But I just had to face up to it and
Well, I tell you, I'd sure take care of them if I got them. I don't think you'd have to worry about that. I get the vet out to them and all that, but if they need it.
These vet bills are getting old, too.
Yeah.
I get a little too sentimental over them, Berman says. But.
Well, most of these are in the prime. And most of these ballots, they're leaning over towards the young.
Was this fella interested in the, in all of them, or just part of them, or?
He just takes the whole stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a little over $14,000 all a year.
So you think we could raise that much?
33 head.
I know I could if I had time to sell some of these others.
Trouble is, we're short right now.
We've got 11,000, that's 11, 12, 13, 14. I'd
have to sell
another
3,000 to get the bull. That'd be close to $4,000.
Now the bull, you got to keep him, out
pinned
by itself now.
Pinned up, yeah.
For father time, and feed him.
Yeah.
Now you see, this one's down a little bit because of damn horses. Can't feed him without.
Yeah, Darren horse run him away. That's the only thing I don't like about horses. Darren boy, they'll chase your cows out of the feed.
Yeah.
They won't let them eat. When I feed, we got this.
I mean,
they'll chase the cows away from that hay rack down at the barn and try to feed my milk cows. I get so disgusted sometimes. I
come out
of it. They're an old cow to sit there and try to eat them horses, run up there and run them away. Here, when was it I hit Captain in the eye with that stool? Oh, that's been a
couple of months,
5 or 6 weeks ago. I was sitting there milking the cow, and he came around there, and he's gonna walk right over the top of me and get her feed, just like I was, just part of the concrete. And I was sitting squatting down here milking, and I just picked my stool up and threw it at him. I didn't even have no idea I was gonna hit him. And I hit him right above the eye, and I hit him in the eye, didn't I?
Hit him in the eye.
With the leg of that
blood
stool.
Clot.
And they had to get the vet out. I didn't even have no idea I was going to hit him.
That cost us.
I just took it and just threw it over my head, even.
Anyway, to get a horse out of the way, I've tried it.
Well, he won't go around there now with him milking there.
Well, that's the only time he's ever done it. I saw he's going to walk right over top of me. Boy, he's coming stomping around there like him. Like I wasn't going, like I was part of the concrete there I was sitting on.
But with him, all you have to do is yell at him or raise your hand, and he spooks back.
Well, I raised my hand and had the stool in it.
Yeah.
He spooked back, all right.
I think he
went around there with a big puff black eye for a while. I didn't have no idea I'd go hit him in the eye, though. In fact, I didn't even think I was going to hit him.
And Bob, when she saw that? Oh boy, this one down here, what's her name? The black one with the star in the center. Oh, she's beautiful. Oh, she shines like a new, brand new automobile.
Yeah.
Oh,
always,
she shines.
Always looks
dressed up. Does she ride real well?
What do you think? We keep getting off the subject.
You keep asking me, I want the whole shebang.
I know it.
Well, I'll tell you, Bowman, let me check with this fella and I'll get in touch with him. Then you can,
I think that's fair enough. You can get in touch with him.
Okay.
This grass over here, you see, will last until Thanksgiving.
Well.
Is that much of it?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is here, we're going to have to move something ourselves, but we don't quite have enough money.
Well, how much time do we have to move it? This is another thing. I don't want to take them to market. They're too nice of cows to go to market.
No,
yep, they're not as nice as yours are, so I know I'd like to get them out of the way so I can get these there. And two, I want to be able to have enough pasture for all of these if we get them all. Is that 14,000 including the little calves, or?
He said the 20 cows, the 8 heifers, and the 5 heifers are springing. It's bred now, right? It'd be 33.
33.
20. 33. 30.
I got
20
calves on top of that.
You got
20
calves on top of that.
Yeah. So I'll have to
Well, you figuring them in with the cows? I mean, were you?
No, they go separate.
Yeah, what I mean. He's going to take them all separate.
They ought to average out around $200. The price would go back up 50 cents.
Well, they're worth $200.
Which is
how many heifers are there in the bunch, in the little one?
The heifers are small. There's one, you know, the pretty heifer, and there's five more that look like they got growth in them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all.
And you got 20, how many heifers?
I just picked out six of them out of
this year's
crop.
Mm-hmm.
Six heifers and the rest are steers?
Well, there's other heifers, but they're not any good.
Yeah.
You got one upset, it looks like a mountain goat.
That woolly one.
Oh, Jennifer loves that one.
I know it. She's so odd looking.
You know, she was pretty good disposition until her mama, I fertilized back there, and her mama got a dose of fertilizer.
Uh-oh.
And I she lost 200 pounds, and that calf just, she didn't like that at all, drying up her
mother.
Yeah.
Taking her milk wagon away?
She was put out. I kept them up here where I could give her shots and one thing or another. That little calf was, she just her disposition changed.
where did the little one go? Where did the little friendly one go that met me coming up the laneway the other day?
She's over there with her mama.
She was? Yeah. I tried to find her. I couldn't see her.
Well, you're going to see this fellow more. What if he takes him?
I'll cry all night. well.
I'm going to find out what his plans are. I'm not committed to it.
But I think Berman likes Pappy better than anything he's got down there. I think he's like you are. He didn't pay any mind to the cows that kept saying, "Honey, look at this one." Yeah, he says, and he's looking at Pappy.
He's not only the best.
It's curious how animals get friends, isn't it? People coming around.
Yeah.
And you know, he's just in his prime, and I don't understand. You know, you have to sell them off because you can't keep them.
Well, gee, if you get Pappy, we'd have to book, sell our bull.
You can have a two.
How many cows do you usually run with him?
Well,
30?
Yeah, but I don't run them solid.
Yeah,
all the time.
Yeah.
I
mean, he takes care of 30
yeah.
and he breeds 30.
Yeah.
I think about 30 is all you need for one bull. I think it's. They figure about 35 on them. One bull.
But you can't keep them out that much because then they'll miss.
We need to keep him in that field right there at the house. Well, we're going to go out and talk to him.
Yeah.
Time,
that's right.
Keep
him where he can't see anybody.
There's plenty of Bahia and Pangola in that field right now.
Keep him where he can't see the cows.
Yeah.
Even across the land.
That'd be right there in front of the house.
That'd be the best thing for us. That's where the company, you know, takes all their bulls in and puts them over there in that little lot right there. They can't see a cow.
Mm.
Well, they're quiet.
Yeah. We've let the growth grow up between the fence. You know, that field right in front of the house there, and you go up the laneway, and there's a fence there that. The laneway divides the two fields,
yeah.
And all that growth is growing up in the fence there, so he can't see over there.
Is that right? Well, you know,
he can't see over there.
I think someday people going back there are getting a little, letting the fence will grow up a little bit.
That and there grows up. I want to get out there and chop stuff out of it.
Yeah, but I think it's serving its purpose. The heifers don't see the mamas over there, and they just don't.
I need to tear that whole
fence
down and rebuild the whole thing, but I just haven't had time.
Yeah.
And they've gone so crazy in wire anymore.
That's right.
Tell them how much that barbed wire was.
During, they wanted it just for regular hog wire now, but I used to get $16 a roll before it runs around at $44 a roll now.
I thought you said $50. Did you tell me 50?
This is wholesale price I'm giving you. This is way more than that in the store.
Yeah.
It's going crazy. And it's going, and I'm going to need about 20 rolls of that wire. Well, they're doing it so far.
They're going up.
I don't see how in the world they can then bring the price of beef down.
Yeah.
Gas going up, everything else going up, and the beef comes down.
Yeah. But what else do they need that wire for?
Everything's out of balance. I need the wire to fence in those oaks over there. It's going to take around to fence that in over there. I'm going to need about 20 rolls of wire.
Yeah.
And I want hog wire up there so I can keep the calves in. Especially on my outside fence. Inside fence is not really, is not that important, but the outside fence it is. That way you keep the hogs out too. There's wild hogs over there.
Oh yeah.
And they get in over there and they root holes in your field, and when you hit one of them you break your neck on the tractor.
Yeah.
That field there in front of my house, they got in there 1 year and they just rooted that thing all over the place. I had to replow it. That was about 10 years ago. They have holes out there that big around and that deep. You hit one of them with a tractor to spin your plumb around if it don't turn you over.
Yeah.
Right across from our mailbox over there on the old Denham place, over that place at Long Mills Guthrie. That place is just rent over there from Hogs. They had some pretty pangola over there, but you couldn't put it up so your neck. They must have 1,000 holes in it out there.
Oh, really?
And they're big around as this table and 2 feet deep.
I heard them talking about that the forestry people brought holes.
Yeah, they did.
There.
They brought them in.
Well, ain't that something?
The game department.
And then she goes to them and complains about the holes out there, and they don't do a darn thing about it.
They don't care.
They don't care.
Then they bring turkeys out, you know. And they turn the turkeys out, and they breed, and they roam around the same area, you know. Well, all the hunters see these turkeys going across the road, and I know where I'm going to go hunting, you know. Okay, just before hunting season, right now, what they're doing, they're going out with cages.